The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What was it like for the Old Testament saints not experiencing the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's edition of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you very much for joining us. Happy to have you along for the ride today. Before we get to our discussion, I'd like to remind you about our website. I'm going to come back at the end and tell you more, but we have all kinds of free resources for you to help you grow. You can go to faithalone.org and discover much more. Well, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for listening to Grace in Focus, however you're listening. Here's a special request. If you are listening online through the worship channel, I'd like to hear about it. Send me an email at radio@faithalone.org and say, I'm listening through the worship channel. It's one of the online stations that we're on. We just want to know where you're listening, how you're listening. If you're using another platform, send me an email, radio@faithalone.org, and just say, hey, Sean, I'm listening on Stitcher. I'm listening on Apple. I'm listening on through Amazon. Let me know, because we're trying to learn where people are at and how to reach more people. So.
And the best use of our resources,
and the
too,
best use of our resources.
If we find that people aren't listening and on something, well, then maybe we won't continue on that.
Right, absolutely. Okay, here's a question from Heather. It's about the Holy Spirit. And she says, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was around and at work, but didn't always reside in believers like he does now. I'm curious what difference this made in their walk with God. Was the fact that they were spiritually alive sufficient help for day-to-day sanctification, or did the Holy Spirit have to, quote-unquote, visit them a lot? In short, what did Old Testament believers possibly miss out by not having the Holy Spirit always in residence?
Yeah, that's a terrific question, Heather. And as you might guess, I have a spin on this.
Okay, you do. Okay, good. I was like, I'm just waiting.
I have thought about
this. What is Bob going to say?
I have thought about this. First of all, I've mentioned on the show before ribs. Ribs reminds me of four ministries of the Spirit that occur at the very moment of faith in Christ. There are, I guess Chafer said, 33 ministries of the Spirit at the moment of faith. But these four are major. R, regeneration. Being born again.
Now, Old Testament believers had that.
That's what Heather said. That's what I agree with. They were born again. They did have everlasting life. I stands for the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have that.
They did
we
not
do.
Have that. Yeah.
Remember David prayed, don't take your spirit from me?
Right.
And it appears that King Saul, the spirit was withdrawn from him.
Yeah.
So
they could lose it.
They could lose the indwelling of the Spirit. The B is the baptized into the body of Christ. That only began at Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Mm-hmm. And so Old Testament people were not baptized into the body of Christ, the B in ribs. S was the sealing of the Holy Spirit, where you're sealed forever so that you are secure. Old Testament believers had that too.
But I guess they were secure without being specially Holy Spirit sealed. I don't even really know what that means.
Well, honestly, they were somehow sealed by the Holy Spirit, I would take it, even though I don't have an Old Testament verse that says that. We do have Old Testament verses that indicate they knew that they were secure. For example, Job 19:25. He says, I know my Redeemer lives, and I know one day I will walk with him in my flesh on the earth. So Job believed in his security and knew he would be with the Lord forever. If you read Hebrews 11, Abraham knew he was secure. He knew he was going to be with the Lord, and Moses did as well. In fact, Moses was living for eternal rewards, according to Hebrews 11. And so the Old Testament saints did believe that they would be with the Lord. But in terms of how is it different, I would say this is a difficult thing to answer. However, David, we're told, was a man after God's own heart. So whatever he had was enough for him to be a man after God's own heart. Abraham was called a friend of God. Whatever Abraham had in terms of enablement from the Holy Spirit was sufficient. And the idea that every Old Testament believer was like Paul in Romans 7, and they were constantly going around, woe is me, and that kind of thing. I don't see it. As I read the Old Testament, there were victorious Old Testament believers. The prophets, Elijah, Elisha, Moses was an overcomer. King David, Abraham. Lots and lots of the believers were not only born again, but they were living lives that were pleasing to the Lord.
Yeah.
It seems to me whatever they lacked by lacking permanent indwelling was not such that they were incapable of pleasing God.
Right.
Now, do we have something better? Yes. But does that mean that whatever they had was insufficient? I'd say no.
So, yeah, so what difference then does it make for us to be permanently indwelt? I mean, is it something tangible? I mean, is it something felt? Is it something?
I mean, obviously, I think this is obvious, that our feelings come and go. I'm sure you've had this experience, Sean, where you've been preaching or teaching, and you finish, and you felt like God was really at work when I was giving that message.
Right, yeah.
And there are times when I feel like, wow, I was prepared and everything, and I studied, and I was ready, and I prayed about it. But yes. Truth is, I do that every week, and this was special.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes God just works in a special way, and I can see it. But other times, no. And so I would say, even though I'm permanently indwelt, there are times when I can see more of the work of the Spirit in my life, and others, it's not as obvious.
Yeah.
And sometimes it does feel like something, and sometimes it doesn't. But I never live by feelings. I never go, well, because I didn't feel this was a special message, somehow it didn't help.
Right.
Or because I didn't have a special feeling, then I really wasn't walking with God.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think it's actually more important that we walk by faith when we don't feel anything,
mm-hmm.
when we don't have the idea that this is some special work of God. A lot of the Christian life is just seeking to please God, even when there's nothing really that special going on.
What about fruits of the Spirit? Those fruits of the Spirit, like you're just saying, you see them in the Old Testament guys.
Right.
So you have the fruits of the Spirit in them, even though they don't have the permanent indwelling. But maybe the mistake here is they did have an indwelling. It just wasn't a permanent indwelling. I mean, the Spirit was in their lives. That's why David says, don't take your Spirit from me. Unless he had a special manifestation of the Spirit that a regular believing Old Testament Jewish person didn't have.
Right. But you have lots of examples of people who were regular people, and yet God used them in mighty ways. The parents of Samson, God used them in a significant way and raised up this son who was one of the judges of Israel and a very powerful person. But in terms of the fruit of the Spirit, I think in Galatians 5:22 and 23,
mm-hmm.
that fruit is corporate, and that all of these things are dealing with the local church. And they're saying that as the Spirit is operative in a local body, it results in love between the members, joy between the members, peace between the members, long-suffering between the members.
But individual members have to have the fruit. It's not the building that has the fruit.
Right, but I think of joy as more than a feeling. In other words, I can individually feel joy without having anything to do with the church. I can just have joy over the birth of a child or joy over a raise or joy over my sports team winning.
Yeah.
But this joy is a spiritual joy, and it's a corporate joy, I think, that's related to the assembly. And all of these things, I think, are related to the assembly. But yes, can I have it individually? I guess I could do it by myself because I'm expressing love to God, right?
Or you love yourself.
I can love God. Yeah, theoretically, we do love your neighbor as yourself, right? Yeah. And in terms of God, obviously, we can love God. But even in the Old Testament, and particularly in the New Testament, the spiritual life is meant to be lived in a group.
Yeah.
And so the family is the first group, right? Because in the Old Testament, the fathers were to teach their children, the mothers were to teach their children.
Yeah.
Of course, the Passover meal was a corporate meeting where they would remind them of the Passover.
Right.
And this took place every year.
Yeah. But I guess my point in bringing up the fruits of the Spirit was, when I look at the Old Testament, do we see people who have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness?
I think we do.
Right? It's not anything special with the Holy Spirit to have those things. Like, there's nothing uniquely connected to a permanent indwelling in order to have those fruit.
Okay, this raises one other point. I think of the image of God here. Because we are created in the image of God, therefore, we can experience this fruit of the Spirit because we are in His image. And, of course, I would even argue an unbeliever to some degree can experience these things.
Yeah.
Because they too can be in a corporate situation in their marriage or their family or whatever. Now, an unbeliever is not going to experience these things fully because even though the unbeliever is in the image of God, the unbeliever is deceived by the world and by Satan. Mm. He's beset by the flesh and he's a slave of sin. Mm. And so as a result, the unbeliever is going to be a person who in varying degrees is going to struggle. But I've often said it kind of depends on your home life growing up, don't you think?
Yeah.
If you grew up in a home that was a wonderful home, when you come to faith in Christ, you don't start at the same level as somebody who grows up in a home where they're abused all the time.
Yeah, I mean,
I often joke and I say some of us had Ozzie and Harriet kind of parents, and some of us had Ozzy Osbourne kind of parents, mm-hmm. although you've told me that Ozzy Osbourne isn't as odd as
I don't
I
think
thought,
he's, yeah, but, I don't think he's as terrible as we thought.
But at least his image was
sure,
some drug-rattled crazy
yeah,
guy.
Yeah. And the Holy Spirit fits in there somewhere.
Well, the only way the Holy Spirit, I'm saying, fits in there, when we come to faith in Christ, the Spirit becomes more active in our lives, but we shouldn't think that the Spirit's inactive in the life of an unbeliever. And the Spirit becomes more active when he permanently indwells us, yes. But all I'm saying is unbelievers or even immature believers can experience some level of the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm going crazy here because I've never heard anybody say an unbeliever could experience this type of fruit. So you think I'm out on a limb?
I mean, can unbelievers be gentle? Sure. Can they be self-controlled? Sure.
Can they express love?
Yeah. Can they be faithful and kind?
I mean, this probably won't characterize their lives, but it can be something in certain contexts they're doing.
Yeah. Heather, thank you for making me think about this. I mean, you know, we're supposed to think more and more about the Holy Spirit. That's what Romans chapter 8 is all about, and this helps us do that. So if you have any ideas about what difference the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit makes to us and what the Old Testament people might have lacked for not having a permanent indwelling, hey, send us an email, radio@faithalone.org, and maybe we'll do a future show based on your responses.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to have special guest Brent Lamb to share his story. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.